I'd like to thank my wife, my beautiful wife Marie, and my mother-in-law Madeline for being here for support, and the Packers Hall of Fame Selection Committee, family and friends. We have a couple here today. They're also part of the training staff, teammates, coaches, and just the fans, you know, for all the support through the years when I was a Packer playing, and, you know, for everybody that partook in that. And I already mentioned teammates, guys that, you know, the guys up front, the big guys, the linemen, receivers on the outside, quarterbacks, everybody I play with from, you know, from the years I was here. And, I mean, it's going to be a long list. I'll have time in July to go down that list. But I'm proud. I'm happy. I was happy for my teammates that went in before me, you know. So I kind of feel that I see how they felt, you know, in that time and that process. And I'm saying it's definitely a privilege with the names that are already in the Hall of Fame and behind coming in behind them and knowing what they accomplished. That means, you know, I've been saying over the past few months, I think I did a little something when I was here in Green Bay playing football. So, you know, from my standpoint, I'm always been humble, always been modest about what I did. Wasn't really a stats guy, was always a hard worker, and I made sure I brought my A game come practice and come kickoff, you know, here in Lambeau and on the road. So again, it's a proud moment for myself, for my family, for my teammates that I played with, and for the coaching staff, everybody that was a part and helped me out through my career. You know, so I like to say thank you to everybody out there and whoever's watching, and can't wait till next to July of next year.
Questions for Ahmad?
What were your expectations when you got here from Seattle? I mean, were you really looking to get into the mix right away, become the starter? Just the way you did it. What was it like when you first arrived?
When I first arrived here, Dorsey Levens was the starter. So my idea, I was always a team player. My idea was to be his backup and to help out when needed, wherever needed, which was for that time special teams. That was kickoff return, punt coverage, kickoff coverage. So wherever the coach needed me, because I knew he was the starter. So in my head, my job was to be his backup, you know, for that time being until things changed.
Ahmad, what's made it so important for you to stay in this community after your football playing career was over?
It was something I realized when I first got here. It was very, you know, reminded me of very much of playing in Lincoln, Nebraska, playing a Cornhusker. And I was actually surprised after my first season, you know, I'd been here from April to the end of December and kind of learned right away that it wasn't really a lot of Packers that lived in the area. And it kind of surprised me because I would, think that, you know, a guy that goes to an organization and becomes successful, I think would be a no-brainer to kind of live in the area that kind of created his career, that where he did, he prospered at, he flourished at, and I thought they could probably, on both ways, benefit from it, take advantage of it because of the business contacts, of the friends and family that you create when you're in the area, you know, and other organizations that you get involved with. So I looked at it myself and kept that in mind. So I just remember all the contacts, you know, Make-A-Wish, Boys and Girls Clubs, business connection in Milwaukee area, business connections here in Green Bay area, and Madison that I made over the years. It really was from a standpoint of family, and a standpoint of business and financial stuff that made sense just to stay here. Because if I'm a businessman, I have a training facility, so it makes it easier to know that I'm in an area that I was successful in, and the fans know me and the people know me, so they want to be a part of that, and that makes it easier, you know. And then from a parent, you know, it makes it real easy to raise a family in Green Bay. It's not a whole lot you got to worry about other than, like right now, the driving conditions, you know, for the kids that are, you know, driving on the roads. But outside of that, when that's all you need to worry about, trust me, I grew up in Los Angeles, you know, that's comparatively obviously different from the Green Bay area, so that takes a little sweat off my forehead thinking about that and raising a family.
You have a favorite game or favorite run on?
Oh man, it's a long list. I would have to say, my wife, she'll probably thump me for this one, but in 2003, and I remember playing against the Bears on Monday night when they just reopened Soldier Field after their construction, and having that offensively, we had a great game off of running the ball. I myself did well, and the thing I've been in the past several years when I do an event or I run into other Bears fans, you know, they hated me, but they love me because they respected me as a player. And what I always tell them, a little secret, a little inside joke that me and Mike Brown, if you remember, strong safety for the Bears that played at Nebraska, we were teammates. And the little secret inside joke was that at Nebraska, he was very quiet. He humble, he practiced hard, played hard, had a lot of Big 12 honors coming out, you know, and got drafted to Chicago. He gets to Chicago, you know, I was here a couple years before he got, you know, into the NFL. The funny thing was, like I said, he was quiet. He didn't say much in college. We were friends. We were good teammates, hard workers together. But then he gets to Chicago, it kind of changed him, I guess. So in pre-games, every time we played each other, he'll start trash talking me. And you guys as media and fans learned that I was a guy that didn't – I was already going to run hard. And with him trash talking me, he kind of put added fuel to the fire. And I was like, Mike, I would tell him in pregame, why are you talking trash to me? Because I'm already going to run hard, but now you're going to make it more of a personal vendetta to come and track down the other number 30 for the Bears. So I tell Bears fans, that was another reason I ran hard. So you could thank Mike Brown for all of the good games I had against the Chicago Bears.
Amon, you mentioned when you came here you were Dorsey's backup. At what point, was there a certain point where you kind of realized, hey, I've got a chance to do something special here, I mean, to make a name for myself?
It didn't happen until the next year when I became the clear-cut starter. I mean, because you remember that season, 2000 season, Dorsey went out with an MCL sprain, I believe, after the Miami game, and then I started taking over from there. But it wasn't really in my head then, that season, that I was going to be the clear-cut guy because I knew he was going to be back. You know, I figured that. I didn't want to assume anything, just kept a realistic view of things. And then in the next year, you know, things changed. There were mini camps, and I was getting a lot of the starting reps. So that's kind of when, you know, I saw, you know, me becoming a starter. And the thing in the back of my mind from the time I got drafted to the time I walked into Seattle's training camp and to the time I got traded here, the biggest thing was I just want a chance. I just want to get a chance to show what I can do at this level. You know, Coach Osborne gave me that chance right away as a freshman. And so Seattle didn't happen right away. You know, I was special teamers rookie year and then kind of third down back halfway through my rookie year and then a little bit more time, but not really never a starter in Seattle, but more of a special teams guy, which I was okay with because I was a team player. But when I got here, it was still, you know, in the back of my head, maybe it'll happen one day, you know, and the way things bounce, injuries, stuff like that, and just being basically in the right place at the right time. Oh, yeah, I thank him all the time. The first time I had the opportunity to thank him is when Seattle came here in 2003, and we shook hands, and we kept it short. You know, it was a lot of other things I wanted to say, but, you know, I had to be more politically correct, and I was more focused on the game because it was just pregame, so I really didn't want to get into that. But he was proud. He said the one thing I do remember, he said he was proud of me and happy for me, you know, during that pregame before kickoff.
What did it mean to you to come back here in 2009 after you were away for a couple of years to come back and to ultimately set, you know, break Taylor's record and set that rushing?
It meant a lot. It was something on the back of the head from the moment I signed that contract in Houston. It was there. It was like an annoying sound. It was every day, wake up, I'm like, I don't know when that day is going to happen, but I was like, I hope I get the chance. Because, you know, I was never a stats guy, but once I left and I had my brothers telling me, oh, man, you're only like 48 yards away. So I was hearing my brothers tell me or friends or other family members telling me how close I was. So, of course, that became a little annoying. But in the back of my mind, I'm an optimistic guy, so I was like, it's going to happen. If it's going to happen, you know, it will. And the opportunity came, it presented itself, and you know, I was talking to Coach McCarthy the week prior to me coming in for a workout when he called me and said, you know, we want to bring you in. You know, and then towards the end of our phone call, he said, man, we got to get you that record. You know, and then when he said that, I was like, it's going to happen. You know, even if it's the way I got it, it was in a game that we lost, but that's why I knew when he said it like that, it's like at all costs, he's going to make sure he get that. And then another thing why it was such a big deal is because my stepdad, Edward Scott, he passed away in 2007, the year I went to Houston. But I remember prior to that year, 06, 05, every year he would talk about me getting closer and closer to that record because he grew up in Louisiana. And he grew up watching Jim Taylor play college football at LSU. So knowing how long that record had been there and knowing how my dad watched him as a running back and was proud, you know, was excited to see Jim Taylor to run, that I'm going after one of his childhood idols and getting a record that, you know, I never even thought of until I got here and had getting, you know, my 2000, 2001, getting closer and closer. It never really crossed my mind how big that was until I heard my dad start bringing it up because, you know, he was a big role model in my life. And for him to talk about that and somebody that inspired him, you know, and that was another reason it made it feel real good to get that record.
It's a different league now the way teams use running backs, but do you hope to see somebody break that record one day?
Yeah, that's what they're made for. I mean, I played sports for a long time, so I know records don't last forever. I mean, fortunate for me, you know, I got this record. This one actually lasted a generation, 43 years, I believe, is the number. And for somebody to come get it, you know, it's going to be a lot of running. Because, like you said, the game is different. It's more pass-dominated. And even though Eddie's having an awesome year, you know, I'll say if anybody were to be close to get it, he's starting off good. You know, he's having a good start. He's having a jump start because it took, you know, I think in my first Seattle to Green Bay first year, I think I maybe had, before I even got to start getting the ball predominantly, I probably maybe had 200 yards to my name before I got traded here. So then after that, everything just took off. But he has a great start to it. So if anybody right now, he has, like I said, he'll be a guy that I could see possibly doing it.